grace and peace to each of you as we gather today in this space. It's a gift to have Jessamyn Tobin with us today. Her short bio is that she's a 2016 Eastern Mennonite University graduate of Eastern Mennonite University, where she studied social work, pre-law, and political science. So you must have been busy. And you're currently working at Fairfield Mediation Center. Let me get that right. I first got to know Jessa some while she was in a Transcend program that I was giving kind of soul care to. So I spent with her and several others several weeks together in the morning sharing the gift of how the Spirit was at work within them. And I noticed something probably about the third day and asked her if she would be willing to bring some art to our gallery and share here in this space with us. And she very willingly, almost off in the back, I think, said, I will do that. And then you said, well, I'll get back to you, I think. You were kind of... But it's good to have you here. It's good to have her parents, Skip and Carol, who I have known for a number of years in collaboration with Virginia Mennonite Missions. And they both have attended classes here, so it's been good. It's good to have you here as well. Yes, so we were looking forward to what she has to bring us. Just a little bit of word about how we will engage the art that she has brought. She will be sharing her artist's perspective and sharing with us in some song. And then we will be invited to come up and to view or to let the art speak to us. It's what's called visio divina. The Holy Spirit does speak many languages, and of course, one of that language is art. And so we're invited to come forward to view and let the art speak to us. Visio divina is Latin for divine seeing. It has its roots in the spiritual practice of lectio divina, which emerges out of the Benedictine order of how you read scripture or let scripture read you, and then you walk with that scripture through the day. And it's a way to allow the text to read our hearts. So visio divina, in a sense, is very biblical in that there has been an invitation by Jesus to contemplate the lilies and the birds of the air, to notice them, the grass and the hairs of your head. So it's very biblical on many sense. There's also a historical awareness of visio divina as we visit some of the great cathedrals or we look at our own stained glass window and engage it and allow it to engage us in terms of what the Spirit may be speaking to us. And we know that iconology is a part of that visio divina. So today, we're going to invite you to slow down as a part of our worship service, to be open to the Holy Spirit, to allow yourself to just notice what you see behind me. What draws your attention? What is evoked in your awareness? And to begin to prayer, to into prayer, the dialogue with God as you are being moved to notice what you notice. So it's slow, intentional, spiritual reading. Turn in your hymnal now as we begin. And let's read together Psalm 23, number 814 in your blue hymnal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here. I'm a little nervous and inexperienced, but I hope that the Holy Spirit can work with what I'm bringing here. So, do you ever look around and just wonder what on earth you're doing, where you're at in the moment? Maybe in seminary studying Bible or standing in front of a bunch of seminary students. You find yourself in unfamiliar territory when the Holy Spirit starts to lead. And you wonder how possibly God could use your disorganized sense of self to speak life into the lives of others. But I think that's part of the adventure. We have to expect the unexpected when we're starting to get to know our Creator and following Jesus. I like to think of the conversation that Lucy had with Mr. Beaver in The Chronicles of Narnia in the first one. And she finds out that Aslan's a lion. She's like, "Well, is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Don't you hear anything that Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I'll tell you. If God was safe, I wouldn't be standing here, but he's good. So I'll have to believe that if he trusts me enough to give me the opportunity to share, then he'll give me the words to say." So I want to make the point today that God works in the most mysterious and wonderful ways, because God is the source of all things spontaneous and creative, and God is creative and spontaneous. In the beginning, there was nothing except everything that was God. Perfect communion, perfect harmony, and perfect love. But this God that we are worshiping today decided to create something outside of herself to behold this perfect love and to experience this perfect love. And thus the universe was created. A lot of the times I look at my art and I'm like, how did that come from my head? I don't know how that happened. And it just blows my mind because I'm just feeling things and going with the flow and then I stop when it feels finished. And then I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So looking at it from that perspective, I'm really fascinated with the creation of the world. when I think about the creation of the universe formed like this grand masterpiece, from inside to outside the Logos, it really just blows my mind. And maybe since I identify as an artist, it does so more than the average person, but I believe that everyone's an artist, so I hope that you too can find a sense of awe in thinking about this. And I genuinely do think that everyone's an artist because, any mind that can create a formula or make sense of numbers is definitely an artist to me. But let's go over this again because it's really mind-blowing. In the beginning, there was God, and God decided to create something outside of himself, and then thus the universe was created. And it was spoken into being, projected forth from a formless thought into a tangible reality. And it was good. It was created. We were created. Before we were born, we existed in the same way, as a formless idea or thought in the mind of God. And he dreamed up all the talents and all the things that make our heart beat faster and all the things that make him laugh about us. I'm sure it's a lot. And we began to take form in space and time, and we continue to do so as we move throughout life and as we invest in one thing or another. Those of us who are raised in the church are so familiar with the creation story and have identified with God as our maker for so long that it's not always something that we get excited about anymore. And we forget that we've been made by such a fantastic visionary. Or at least we forget to revel in this idea. The being that spoke galaxies into existence, who filled oceans, who carved out the mountains, who thought up of the Fibonacci spiral and all the different things that wear it, somehow decided to put me and you into the mix. God thought, you know, I think Skip and Carol should have one more daughter, even if they think five is enough. And she's going to be an interesting character, and this is going to be really fun. It feels really absurd to think about. Really? God dreamed me up? God dreamed me up? I'm so small and so useless and so weak and so irritating a lot of the times. But God has had a vision for my life and wanted me to exist. In my 22 years, I've struggled a lot with insecurity and self-loathing and doubt. And so I need to be reminded who it is that made me. Because when I think about how small I am in the grand scheme of things and how minuscule the chances are of me being me, and when I think that God knew me before time and space themselves existed and knew about all of my failures and imperfections, knowing he would have to die to buy me back and decided to make me anyways, when I think about this, the awe I feel doesn't leave space for the other voices, the ones that tell me that I don't have anything to bring to the world and that I'm unredeemable. We really are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God really does delight in the uniqueness of every person. We have been made with so much care and so much attention to detail. God speaks the universe into being, and God speaks us into being, and God speaks life into our beings, and God is an artist. And does not the creation speak of its creator? So doesn't a piece of art somehow carry a little bit of the essence of the artist who made it? And so are we not made in the same way as something that speaks of the one that makes us? The one who created colors and the space which music fills and the bodies which tend towards rhythm and towards filling eight bars or a page with rhymes and words or paint and buildings and businesses and poetry and relationships and art. It's definitely our nature to long for beauty and structure in our broken world, and we too long to create something. So there's a reason why we perceive colors and visual patterns as pleasing to an eye, or feel full of life when we dance or sing in four-part harmony. It's because we really are created for such things. We are made to create, and we are made to behold God's masterpiece that is the world around us. It literally is in our DNA, and I could go off on a huge tangent about how you see the same patterns and structures and ratios and everything in our DNA and cells and crystals and chords and the steps to salsa and the paths of planets. It's really crazy when you start looking at it, and I get really excited about these sorts of things. But I want to speak about God as an artist because I spent a lot of time being angry at God because I forgot the God who lovingly made me. And I replaced him with an image of an authoritative white male with a list of don'ts. And I didn't want a relationship with that kind of God. When I was little, I knew very well the God who was my shepherd, and I prayed to this God and recited the 23rd Psalm as I laid in bed, paralyzed with fear of the dark. And even as a middle schooler, this fear was really crippling to me, and I started to dread the sun going down because we lived in Thailand, and that was a time when everyone would be doing their spirit offerings. And so when that was going on, I just started to feel sick with anxiety. But God was my shepherd and comforted me. And actually, one night, my fear just literally vanished out of thin air. And I knew that God had healed me. And so later on, when I was preparing to move back to the States from my boarding school in India, I also felt a sense that God would be my shepherd through it. And that even though I would walk in the valley of the shadow of death, because that was what high school felt like to me, or the idea of going into high school, I felt like God would be there and, you know, his rod and staff would comfort me and all that stuff. But unfortunately, it was a lot harder than I expected. And God the shepherd became God the abandoner, because these years were starting to go by and I was still feeling like I would never be happy again. And if God really loved me, why is it this hard? And why would I be this miserable? And I really didn't want to talk to him anymore, because ultimately it just felt like a hindrance to the only shot of happiness that I had, which was pretty much based on being cool enough so that a boy would fall in love with me. And it took longer than I care to admit to get out of that way of thinking, and I find myself still there sometimes. And through it, I was just warring with God in my head, and I didn't want to believe something just because I was told it was true, and I wanted to understand who God was and what the truth was. And now looking back, even though I wasn't faithful to God, he was faithful to me, and I can see so clearly now how he was still crafting beauty in my life despite all of my attempts to fight against it. In my darkest times, I found that I was able to ease my mind with music and with art. And although I didn't realize it, God was really wooing me back. I've always been creatively inclined, but I would have never dreamed of calling myself an artist even, or having an art exhibit or anything like that. It kind of just happened. I just started drawing and painting a lot. And then I had a lot of stuff. So that was really cool. And it was totally unexpected. And just a beautiful gift. And I think it's just proof that God has better things in store for us than we do for ourselves. His vision for us might not be safe. It might be scary. You might have to stand in front of people and talk. But it really does suit the best version of ourselves. And he uses what we love and what we want to do with our time and energy, and it manifests itself supernaturally. When I draw and paint, I come with nothing but a canvas or some paint and pens, and just with a desire to make something beautiful out of the chaos that I feel. And somehow, that happens, and I'm not sure how, but it does. And so God has revealed the beauty of himself through what I create, even though a lot of my art is made in the context of darkness, when I'm angry and sad and hurting and confused, and despite all that, beauty emerges. And that's kind of a metaphor for life. One of the scriptures I had picked out was Ezekiel 47. It's when Ezekiel's hanging out with an angel, and he's like measuring out all of these walls by 1,000 cubits, and the water keeps on rising. And then he sees there's this crazy image of fresh water flowing into salt water, and the salt water becomes fresh. And then there's trees lining the river, and the trees are for the healing of the nations. And you see that image again in Revelations. And so maybe you're walking with Jesus, and he's showing you all of these cool things, and it's great. But maybe there's some water around your ankles, and you wish it wasn't there. Or maybe it's up to your knees and coming up to your waist, and it's really cold and really uncomfortable, and the current's strong and you're getting tired. Or maybe it's an engulfing river and you're drowning and you're wondering, where is the Jesus that walks on water and why isn't he saving you? And that's okay, because God doesn't require us to swim against the current and find within ourselves the strength to make it out. He's not waiting for us to get it together and save ourselves. He's there, he's holding you, and the only thing he's waiting for you is to stop fighting him so we can just carry you. The Holy Spirit is not perturbed by the struggle that you're in because it's just an opportunity for him to work in the generous ways that he does. In him is a river of fresh water that turns the salt water fresh. And when we tap into this water, we get to be a part of this beautiful picture of trees with fruit that is for the healing of the nations. The nations do need healing. We all need healing. I need healing. But we are not worshiping a God with a list of don'ts, like a dissatisfied father. We are worshiping a God that tells us to play and to make mud pies and paint out our anger and is begging us to dance with him. We are worshiping a God who allows us to be like children again and wants to put his hands on us, dirty as we may be, and bless us. That's what I have. And I'm going to share a song that I wrote kind of along the theme of the 23rd Psalm. So, also, it's like a kind of, it's like a song rap because I really like hip hop. I know that's might be surprising, but yeah.
Water on the margins, I walk through the valley, but you talk and you rally. You went to the galleys for all of my sins, so I can win. I'm swimming, skimming the precipice of death is a test, but somehow I rest in these wings of voice sings. Evil schemes, I'm dreaming these things, I'm leaving, because I believe in a greater creator. A larger equation, can't leave, but I'm feeling persuasion, I need saving. And all I'm saying is I need you, I wish that I could meet you, so you don't know what to do, but you are my shepherd. Wedding dress, a gift of finesse. You're the nest that I'm lying in. I'm trying too hard, pardon me, so unequipped. But your blessings drip from the heavens. 11 wish, 47 gifts, and still counting. Drowning, but you crown me in glory, Lord, I'm yours. I'm drowning, but you crown me in glory, Lord, I'm yours.
Bless you, Jessa. Bless you, and thank you for bringing this. We will enjoy your works throughout the semester. And as you have noted in any email that I sent, there are some of them are for sale. Actually, one is already sold. And there are prints made available, and the funds from this will help her to return to where she was born, her native Thailand, for work with Virginia Knight Missions. So, bless you. Lead us in our final.
And it's not this tune that's in there, but the words are there, so. But it's pretty easy, so you should be able to follow along.